That's my last name. We're known as workers. That's why I didn't really get God's call for me to be a pastor, but not that I don't work, but we work with our hands. And we can be a proud bunch too. So it took us quite a few years to come to faith in Christ. And because we were willing to give people the shirt off our back, so to speak, and work hard, and had that sense that we were working, we were earning. And so receiving a gift of grace was outside of our usual realm, and it took quite a while. But it's interesting, as my sister came to Christ through the local Baptist church, and then my brother did, and then I did, and my older sister had already moved away from home. We all married people on journey, and they all know God. And my parents have come to Christ and been baptized. And it's interesting, it's Christmas time when I'm telling this story, but when Beverly and I got married and we moved to Alberta, I had been living in Ontario for a while, met Beverly down there. I moved back to Alberta, and Beverly moves to Alberta, and all my family's in Alberta. We said, let's get together and spend time together. So our first Christmas here, we had everybody into our tiny little living room, and we shared meaningful stories about what God's done in the past year. And my uncle, Hal, was there. And he was there because his marriage had broken up, and I don't think my aunt was quite dead yet, but basically died of bitterness. And they've got four kids, and we have four kids, and we're all younger than they are, but he's watched his kids get into drugs and alcohol. I don't even think I recognize my cousins from the hard life that they've lived. And he's watched just death take hold of their lives, and he's watched the light of the world, life of Christ, enter our family, and where when we used to live in Calgary fairly close to them, we were on the same direction. We were similar families. And he's watched the difference God has made in our lives, and he's heard that as we've shared it. And we've had him at our Christmas Burke family get-togethers several years now. We'd rent a camp. In fact, we'll go up there the first weekend of January and celebrate as a Burke family. We're all believers. We get to celebrate that. And we invite, you know, not only my Uncle Hal, but other aunts and cousins and whoever else can make it into that group. But it's cool. My Uncle Hal, he's about 10 years, maybe 13 years older than my dad. My dad just turned 71 this summer, so he would be 84-ish, 80, somewhere between 80 and 84. But he passed away a few years ago. But he's been watching this dynamic when we were first married 20 years ago. And he watches it. He ends up moving to Saskatchewan, little town there. And he meets up, one of the first people he meets up with is a pastor of a little Methodist church there, I think. Starts with M anyways. And he comes to faith in Christ, right? Partly through watching, you know, even his own brother, my dad, come to Christ. But he comes to Christ out there. And just to give you a little story here, he's driving down the street one day, right? And not knowing God. He's driving down the street, and there's the guy that's known around this tiny little town, much smaller than Coaldale. Drives by this guy, has that thought go through his mind, kind of a judgmental thought. Here's the town drunk. But by the time he gets to the next corner, he goes, nope, that's the old Hal. He drives around, Uncle Hal's his name, drives around the block, stops there, takes his groceries, helps this very alcoholic-smelling man into his truck, gives him a ride home, and just loves him in the name of Jesus. It's just a very practical faith. He wasn't a bad guy before, would have helped lots of people, but he wasn't going to heaven, and he had the light of Christ in him, and it brought about these just cool little changes that fun to watch my uncle go through this transformation of Jesus in his life. And the reason I bring up Uncle Hal, there's some other stories I could tell him, but we were doing missions work several years ago, and we come through that little town in Saskatchewan. We stayed with my uncle one night, and we're talking with him, and he says, you know, I got two real goals for this year. I don't know if it was coming up to New Year's or not, but he tackled it by the year anyways. Two main goals for this year. One, I want to be baptized. And my other goal, I want to learn how to pray. What a great goal. And yet, you know, maybe we walked with Christ for quite a while, but somewhere we can set prayer aside. And it's not that important. Not enjoying the privilege, like we were just singing a minute ago, of engaging in conversation with Almighty God. And he cares intimately what we have to say. And he's got incredible plans. He's got really meaningful, important things that he needs us to hear. And we're just scurrying through life and we forget. Teach us to pray. The disciples asked them. So I want to pray for us as we dive into this topic a little bit here this morning. Heavenly Father, you lead us and guide us. We call you Father. But God, I confess sometimes I'm just going on my own trail, scurrying through life, and I'm not acting like one of your followers because I'm not intentional about following you where you're leading. I'm just asking you to bless my own path, and I'm living off yesterday's spirituality or something. But would you lead us into your presence this morning and reveal for us some truth about prayer that'll launch us into this new year in a way that is intentional. We pray this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. You know, as I was thinking about this, we're Christians, little Christs, people that proclaim the name of Jesus and say, you are my Lord, my Savior. Where you lead, I'll follow. What an oxymoron if we're not engaging in prayer so that we could actually follow where he is leading. He may be leading. Hey, come this way, Gary. And Gary's just heading off over this direction. I don't mean that Gary, wherever he is. I mean this one. No comment on your spiritual life, but don't we, right? I'm not even attuned. Isn't that an oxymoron? And wouldn't it be a tragedy if we got to the end of 2015 and we had serious questions about, was I following where God was leading this year or not? What opportunities did I miss? Did I follow where he was leading or just ask him to bless my trail? What a tragic thing, right? All the while calling ourselves disciples, Christians, followers of Christ, but not intentional about following him. All the while calling ourselves the Church of Jesus Christ, a group of people that gather in to intentionally follow him, but then we weren't intentional about following. I think that would be tragic in a lot of ways. Martin Luther said, prayer for the Christian is like breathing for anyone who's alive. And I've titled this, Having an Ear for Prayer. When we think about prayer, why not having a mouth for prayer, right? Most of it is spoken. Or having a heart for prayer, because what comes out of our mouths reflects where our heart is at. And those are all tied up here, but I simply made an acronym and only have 3 points this morning, and so I didn't spell out heart or a larger word. But I think it's intentional as well, as I came across this, having an ear for prayer. I think we often forget about the listening part of prayer, and we more often think about the speaking, our part in prayer. But the listening is very important. But I have spelt it out with an E-A-R this morning in my outline. Having an ear for prayer, first of all, it's essential. If we're disciples, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, this isn't optional. This isn't, well, it doesn't matter at all. It absolutely matters. It's essential. Or we're not really following, right? We can't follow. Luke 6, I won't read it all, but you can look at the whole passage later, 12 to 16. I'm mostly focusing on the first verse. Verse 12. In these days, he, that is Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer. You ever had an all night in prayer? Usually we're forced into it, right? We're facing a huge decision where finally we recognize, oh, maybe I don't know enough about this situation, and I actually need your input on this one, God. But sometimes I got it figured out. We're usually forced into it, but Jesus made it his regular practice. If Jesus needed to commune with the Father in prayer, we're pretty arrogant, aren't we, if we think we don't need to? So in those days, or these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And then it continues from there. And when day came, he called his disciples, which was quite a crowd by then, and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot who became a traitor. He spends all night in prayer, and he comes out of there, and he knows how to follow. He knows, bing, 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 bing. Here's my 12 apostles set aside from the rest of the disciples who are intent on following Jesus too, but he pulls these 12 aside. You've got a special task. He prayed all night, and then he chose the 12 disciples, 12 apostles. And Jesus took time to pray. And we need to take time to pray. It's absolutely essential. Or what are we following? Who are we following? I think sometimes, right, we wake up in the middle of the night, we think it's a bad thing. It's an annoyance. And it is. But could it also be an opportunity when we wake up in the middle of the night? Is there somebody? Is this an opportunity? Somebody I get to pray for? I mean, there was a church in England, right? This is a couple hundred years ago. When missionaries were sent out, they basically packed their stuff in a coffin. See you later. We don't know if we'll ever hear from or see you again. But that's the way a missionary was sent out. And it was at the end of that age where one missionary was sent out. Can't even remember their name right now. It was a while ago. I couldn't find the story this past week. But this church prays over, sends out a missionary. And they are out there, and it's years later, times have changed, we can travel a little more easily now. That missionary actually makes it back to that church, and they're sharing a story of the whole tribe coming to Christ in this remote part of the world. And they're sharing that story, and he says, you know, a key event went on even before I had relationship with that tribe. It took years for that tribe to come to Christ. But something really key happened even before I made it into relationship with them. They were traveling in through the jungle. They'd heard about this tribe, but they hadn't made it there yet. As they're traveling in through the jungle, they're sleeping in this untamed jungle. And they heard years later that as they were sleeping there, once they got to know the tribe, they heard this story. And so they get to know the tribe and they see them come to Christ after years and years of ministering there and whatever. And they're talking one night and the chief of the tribe says, hey, I've got another question, but it's not about the Bible this time, it's about you. Okay, what is it? We heard you were coming, just like you had heard of us, and we went out there as warriors, and we were going to kill you. So where did your protectors go? They're going, what? All of us that had got off that boat came through the jungle, and here we are. This was it. He goes, no. There was some armed men with you that night. We went out there to kill you, and then these armed men stood up out of the jungle, and we came back here, and you actually made it to see us. Where did they go? I have no idea. So this missionary, a decade and some years later, he's sharing in this church that had sent them out. And he shares that incident. And they got talking later, and it's the exact date of a prayer meeting where there is the exact number of people praying in a small room in that church. And that number of armed warriors is what that tribe saw gathered around them, protecting them that night. Wouldn't that be fun to be a part of? You were one of the ones praying in that church, got woke up, or your consistent habit is to meet together like the group that meets in the library here Wednesday mornings, praying for our missionaries, and to find out 10, 20 years later, wow, God did a miracle through that. He raised up these armed warriors, the exact number, and he protected them, and the whole tribe comes to Christ. Fun, eh? Like, it's essential and it's a privilege. It matters. And Jesus takes time to pray. We need to take time to pray. In John 15, Jesus teaches, "And the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. And you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he who will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." I want my life to count. And sometimes I think that means doing more, meeting with more people. Maybe I just need to pray more. He bears the fruit. It'll make my conversations fruitful. It'll make us fruitful as a church if we head into 2015 actually intent on praying to, crying out to God, and intent on listening to God. What would happen if in very practical ways we were a little more aligned this next year with where God is leading us? What might happen? He can do the miraculous through it. And we will experience that fruit in us and through us and all around us. And I want to see that. I want to see us become more of a people of prayer. But it'll be essential if we're going to walk as disciples this year that we engage in prayer. How many times does Jesus in the gospel say, "Him who has ears to hear, let him hear"? Right? He's saying, "I've got something super important I need to tell you." So he uses that phrase. If you've got ears to hear, well, who doesn't have ears? But are you able to hear? Can you really hear spiritually? He's saying, "This is important." I think he's got some really important stuff to say to us as Coaldale Mennonite Brethren Church. Will we hear it this year? It's essential that we hear, that we petition, that we converse with God in an active way. It's essential. I think it's also active. Sometimes we think prayer is inactive or passive, but I don't think so. Acts 1:14. "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?'" This is the beginning of Acts. He's resurrected, and his disciples are asking him these questions. "He said to them," that is Jesus, "'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight while they were gazing into heaven as he went. Behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem." So they've just seen Jesus go up miraculously at the ascension on the mountain. "And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, John, and James, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James." Sound like a familiar list? Those called ones, those apostles. All that group except the one who betrayed him. "And all these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer." They know they're at a critical juncture. Where are you leading us, God? You've just gone up, but you've promised us this Holy Spirit. They could have just sat down. Well, you know what? We should take the five principles of leadership and we should figure this out. We're going to strategize and we're going to plan a way of going forward. He said these things, so now let's make them come about. We're going to go and be witnesses and we're going to figure out and we're going to do it in these ways. Right? They could have strategized. But they devoted themselves to prayer. They weren't alone. They were together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They're asking, what's next, Lord? What a great question. Lord, we're not sure, but what comes next? Where are you leading us? Prayer has been called a season of active waiting. It's not passive. It's actively engaging the Father. Where are you leading me? When you give me the next step, I want to be ready to take it. And not going, well, that sounds a little out there. I want to be ready. Will you prepare my own heart to hear you? It's actively engaging and seeking direction and being followers, right? Being followers. Not asking him to bless. Look at, we got this figured out. We know where we're going. I'm just going there. I've mentioned this to the church council already as we had one of our meeting in November. I don't think we're called as a council to be vision casters. Here's the vision, and we cast it, and we convince everybody else this is where we're going. I am absolutely convinced that we need to be vision catchers. We need to catch on to what's God's vision for this group of people meeting together. We need to catch on to that. But that's us as a group. Yes, we have some specific role to play in that on council. But we listen as a body to God. What do you have for us, God? How can we follow you? And it's actively seeking, and we catch on to his vision, and then we start moving, and he produces the fruit and all the rest of it. It's actively engaging. Prayer is essential for a disciple, for a follower of Jesus. It is active. It's actively engaging in conversation, and it's two-way conversation. We both speak and we listen. Colossians 4:2 says, persevere in prayer, watching in it, right? We pray, we don't forget what we've prayed. We've prayed, we watch in it. How are you answering, God? How are you leading? Might come through an unlikely source, right? How many of us have been taught something really critical through our children? Yeah, probably most of us as parents, right? Could it be God working through our children sometimes going, hey, I want to get your attention through this child. It could come through anybody in this congregation. As we meet together, as we are intentional about seeking, persevering in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. He's answering, he's moving. It's essential, it's active, it also needs to be regular. Regular. I mean, there's several ways we can build it into our lives as being regular. I want to jump into Acts 3 here for a second, though. Acts 3:1, jumping just a couple of chapters later. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They've been given the Holy Spirit now. They're moving forward as disciples. But it's still their regular practice to meet together. It's at the hour of prayer that they're heading up there, the ninth hour. And they have opportunity to heal. But God heals them through their mouths, through their words, through their actions. And we'll dive and look at that at some point in the future together. The healing and how God works through that and why they were open. They said, we don't have anything to offer you but that you're asking for, but we have this. And he's healed and he can walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they get to be a part of that. But it's their regular day. That didn't happen every day. But regularly, sometimes God meets us personally and powerfully in our prayers, as we're meeting together in prayer. Are we open to that? Is it regular in our lives? Someone else has said that if we only pray when we're in trouble, we're truly in trouble. Right? He's not just a crisis God. We follow him in all of life. That's what Christian and disciple mean. We follow him. He is truly our leader in all of life. And wherever he leads, we're going. But is that true? Is it regular in our lives? And I don't mean to put this on like, oh wow, now I got to slip into religion. And if I do it just right, he'll answer, right? We don't preach a health and wealth or a prosperity gospel. If I do this, A plus B equals C. That's not the way it is with walking with God. But we're missing out on incredible intimacy with the Father that he's calling us into as his children. He invites us into incredible relationship. He calls us friend. He lets us in on his plans when we're spending time with him, when we're journeying with him. So how do we build that into our lives regularly? Well, we can do like they were. They were meeting together. The group meets here at 9 o'clock Wednesday mornings. There is groups. There's other groups. Meet in our care groups. We take some time specifically to pray. We could take time as we get together as music teams to intentionally pray. What can we pray for you this week? How can we lift each other up in prayer and care for one another? Come together and seeking God. What do you have for us? Council does it specifically. God, what do you have for our church? Do you ask that? Everybody who regularly attends here, what are you doing in our church? Lord, what's my part in it? Might surprise us there too. You know, there's those times, specific times where we plan it. Maybe it's our mornings, maybe it's our evenings where we have our personal time of prayer. Maybe it's as we go for a walk, but we're also called to pray continually in Scripture. That's regular. How to build that in, right? As we're doing things, as we're going through life, all the time, we're in that posture of prayer of going, maybe I don't know enough in this scenario. We come with a learning, a teachable attitude. We've got questions for God. We're looking for him to answer through his people and his world and his word, right? We're regularly engaging, exploring how he might be answered. That prayer, persevering and watching. How are you answering these prayers, God? We narrow it down sometimes into just such a narrow little list, right? Just for physical healing or whatever else. He's doing so much more outside of that. As we're in prayer, he starts to open our minds to how he sees the world. And he leads us on an incredible journey. There's other practical ways to implement prayer times. I mean, one, we need to decide to make prayer a priority. Will we do that? Will we decide to make prayer a priority in 2015 and go, wait, God, I've kind of got these plans and I'm going to do this and I'm and there's a lot of me in there. And I want to just surrender those intentionally to you. What plans do you have? Your word says you've got good, incredible plans for me. I actually want to listen to you. I want to ask you this year intentionally that you would lead me and lead us in that direction, the direction you have for us. Decide. Secondly, we need to make a plan and set some goals. Okay, if I'm going to be intentional, it's going to mean probably we set something aside because we're too busy to just put something else in our schedules. And set some goals that are smart. Maybe you've heard these before. I'm not going to teach on them deeply right now, but SMART. Are they specific? What are you going to do? Specific prayer goals. Are they measurable? I'm going to do this every other week. We can measure it. We can see, am I doing this every other week? I want to get up. I want to change my morning routine, for example, and take 10, whatever. Don't set these high, lofty, well, I'll get to that in a minute, but be specific. And are they measurable? How do we want to implement this? What are you inviting me to at this time in my life, God? How do I build it into regular life? Is it achievable? Make it achievable. Don't set yourself up for fail. Boy, I'm gonna pray 2 hours every morning. Going from 0 to 1,000. Yeah, probably miles per hour, I mean. Probably not gonna happen overnight. Is it really achievable? Can we move in that direction? Are they relevant? Are they something we can act on? Does it inspire us? And are they time bound so we can look back on it and say, yes, here's when I'm going to implement it. Here's how I'm going to implement it. And then we need to act on that strategy. Put accountability into place. If it's meeting together, there's a built-in accountability. If I'm just going to start to do this, yeah, my evening routine is going to be this. As soon as I get the guys into bed, I'm going to start to take this much time to prayer, and I don't voice it to anybody else out loud. Well, then it's all up to me, and I can get distracted from it. But build some accountability in place, and then offer ourselves some grace. Right? If I say, wow, I'm going to do this every single day, don't get too discouraged if it only happens 4 days out of seven. 4 days out of seven is 4 days that it wouldn't have happened before we were more intentional. So can we celebrate some movement in a direction? I mentioned this a little bit before, but have an open posture when we ask God, when we seek Him. Sometimes it can help to kneel. Right? We kneel and it puts us in a submitted authority. Just like a smaller dog lays over on its back in front of a bigger one and going, you know what? You can do with it whatever to me. We know you're good, God, and you have good plans. Sometimes a posture can help us. Lord, teach us to pray, having that kind of attitude, asking. The disciples ask, Lord, will you teach us to pray? Having that kind of attitude and we don't have to come in knowing it all. But He's leading and guiding, opening us up to some things we haven't seen before. But try something. Will we decide to try something in 2015 so that we can take hold of more of what God wants to bless us with? We can pray through Scripture. That can be a great way. We can make Scripture both our prayer, the one we're saying, as well as we listen to Scripture and go realize God is speaking to His people. Yes, He said something however many thousand years ago that Scripture was, and we want to apply that to our lives. So what out of that, what are you saying to us, God? Scripture can be a great way. A list can be a very helpful thing. It can keep us on track, right? I don't know about your mind. That's why I sit up so far. It's not to make it a shorter walk up here, because I'm so easily distracted. If I sit farther back, I see all the movement. I'm totally distracted. I have to sit up front no matter what, because I'm just too easily distracted. And same in my prayer. I need something to help keep me focused. I love praying when I'm driving, actually, but I like a fairly... It's not the 401 north of Toronto when I'm praying. It's got to be a little more secluded than that. And I don't pray with my eyes closed when I'm praying. You're all thankful for that. They're all right. Ooh, I'm calling 911 when they leave here. But sometimes I need something to keep me a little bit busy. My boys need their feet swinging or some body part moving, right? Maybe you're like that too. And it's okay. We don't have to just sit, you know, like we're tied up or something. It's nothing too magical about it, but finding something, a way of connecting with God that actually works. One that helps us here, helps us be who we really are. So a list or journaling. Some people write out their prayers. I do at certain seasons, but most often I don't find it helpful. It doesn't help me engage because my hand can't keep up with what's going on up here. But some people find it, or record it with a little thing you talk into, however you want to record it. Go for a walk and just talk to God, but build it in. Come up with a plan so you can pray in a balanced way. I mean, there's all sorts of acronyms. You can look them up on the internet too. But there's ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adore God. Just simply enjoy Him for who He is, for His character. And start there. Adore God. And the C is confess. Lord, here's where, right? I've spoke this in the last few weeks, but we all commit sins of where we commit them. Here's what I've done wrong, but we also fail to love perfectly. So what in my life? Show me my heart, O God, kind of idea. And confess that so we can walk in freedom before God. Receive His forgiveness as part of that. And then the T is thank Him. Give thanksgiving. How much do we have to be thankful for as believers? I mean, life in Christ and then so much other stuff and beyond that. Give thanks for some time. And then the S is a big word. It's harder to remember. Supplication. But really, you could just put a little A and then a big S and a K. And simply, supplication is asking God. That's where we go to our list. Here's the things I want to ask a request of you. I need wisdom in this area. Would you answer me here? I pray for this person. It's simply asking. So you can use a little acronym like that. Adore, confess, thank, and ask. There's several of them, but will we do something? Will we dialogue? Is it two ways when we pray? Or is it just, bleh, we barf out our list, right? And there it is, and then we're off and running. But we haven't taken time to listen, and we're not leaving our prayer time watching. How are you going to answer God? Right? Pray, persevere in prayer, watching. We want to watch and see how He answers. So that's some of the how. Who with are we going to pray? Well, I already mentioned, hey, we can pray alone. We can pray together with others. You can pray with one other person. Hey, God's just stirring this in my heart. I had this when I went to, was a youth pastor in Southern Ontario. I went to kind of like a ministerial, but it was just youth workers there. I don't know, 13, 16 churches involved. And I looked around there, both paid and unpaid youth workers. And I went, there's a guy I'd like to meet with. Something in me, I'm going, I think I'd resonate with him naturally. Is there someone around you you'd think you'd resonate with naturally? It might take asking a few people. It did me there. I saw him and I went, approached him after the meeting and went, hey, I need this in my life. Would you meet together with me every other week for prayer? His response was, no, actually, I got enough things in my life right now. I'd rather not. Okay. Went to the next meeting. Looked around the circle again. There's a guy. Approached him after the meeting. We ended up meeting regularly every other week for the whole time, couple of years that we were there. It was incredibly beneficial to both of us. We learned something about hearing from God through each other and how we pray too. It was great. You can praise in one-on-one. 2 to 11 people, right? A small group can meet together. You can pray as congregation. I'd like to explore that. Some as a congregation. Can we pray differently during our services sometimes? Well, I hope so. I hope we can try something, learn from it. Maybe it works and it's something we want to do most Sundays. And maybe, well, we tried it, but that's not a good fit for us. Okay, well, we learned something anyways. Can we try those things? And we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for family and friends and other contacts, people we hardly know. What's God doing in their lives already? How can we align with that? We can pray spontaneously. We can pray constantly or at specific times. We can pray differently at different seasons. Right? Make it, change it up a bit. We can pray when connected to chores. I heard this, I think it's on the Sacred Marriage DVDs that Gary Thomas teaches. No, it's not. It's on DVDs that I watched after those ones. Anyways, can't remember the name of it. A single mom, she prays for each of her kids as she's folding their laundry. Does something that you're doing for other people bring you to their minds? or bring them to your mind. When they're brought to your mind, then pray for them. What a great opportunity. It's just conversing with God, hearing from Him, speaking what's really on our hearts and minds to Him, and watching for those answers. Prayer has also been called a passion for the presence of God. We don't walk through this earth alone, but it feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? Even in our families and whatever else, there's something unique about us. We feel a little bit disconnected, but we don't walk alone. We have an ever-present help. Are we experiencing that? God wants to meet us powerfully and personally. I want to close with Johnny Erickson's quote here. Johnny Erickson, Tada, I really appreciate her. I think she was 16, might have been 15, when she dove off a dock into some shallow water and broke her neck. And they did rescue her out of that, and she was in traction and had to be flipped and whatever else. She's paralyzed from the neck down. I think she's gained a little bit of movement in her fingers so she can operate a motorized somehow, anyways, wheelchair and whatever else. But she's an incredible author, and she's learned how to really listen to God. She sees her being paralyzed as a real blessing now. That's quite a journey coming to that place. She says this: the longer the tea bag sits in the cup, the stronger the tea. The more God's word saturates our minds, the clearer our grasp on what's important to God, and the stronger our prayers become. Hey, do you ever just sit and brew? I mean, in the positive sense, like a tea brew, just sit there and be saturated with God. Incredible question. Won't it be a tragedy at the end of 2015? We haven't learned anything new about prayer. We're not any more convinced about where God is leading us as a congregation, us as individuals, who He's created us to be. We haven't moved forward in prayer. That would be a tragedy. Calling ourselves disciples when we're not any more connected. But wouldn't it be a joy if at the end of 2015 we can say, here's some things I've learned about prayer. Here's some things that I've learned are really important to God. Here's how He's stirring in my heart. Here's some of the things. Wow, look at some of the fruit He's brought through my life this past year. What might He do if we will make prayer, conversing with Him, a real priority this next year? Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we live in North America, and we're busy. There's lots of stuff. And yet the spiritual realm, the spiritual world, is as real as the physical. We just often get caught up in the physical. I know I do. The things I can see with my own eyes. But I pray You would open my spiritual eyes to see what You see. There's lots going on around us, and we might be missing it. In fact, it's a certainty that we're missing some of it, but we don't want to miss more than we have to. In this next season, 2015, would You lead us into intimacy with Yourself? Help us hear You. Help us grow in our confidence that You hear and respond to us, that we would pray and watch. Would You lead us and guide us, Father, for Your glory, for Your sake, and yes, would You bear fruit through us as we learn to abide in prayer this year. Help us follow through, Jesus, on the things that You're calling and inviting us to do. I pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. As the team comes back up,